Can the House pass something? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. They have 14 hours left to approve a spending plan to prevent a government shutdown. A vote could come this hour, but will all Republicans support whatever the plan is? 38 voted no on the Trump-backed bill yesterday, defeating it. GOP Congresswoman Claudia Tenney tells Fox Business.
It is irresponsible to say to the rest of the Republican conference, as some of these people have, that we're going to find one little thing that we're not going to vote for. We cannot get everything we want.
President-elect Trump has been demanding an extension of the debt limit be in the funding plan.
He truth-socialed about it overnight, saying that it had to be a part of the deal, but he might be walking away from that, at least for now, to make sure the government continues to function, and then this would be kicked to the new year. They would have to come back and deal with it at the beginning of the year.
That's Fox's Aisha Hosni at the Capitol. We got an update on inflation this morning. A gauge the Federal Reserve closely watches when deciding interest rate cuts.
Prices rose at a smaller than expected pace in November. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, the PCE, increased just 0.1% in November.
That's Fox's Jenny Casola. The annual PCE increase also rose up 0.1% from October to 2.4%, similar to the increased annual inflation rate in the Consumer Price Index. Starbucks baristas have brewed up a strike this morning at unionized locations in Chicago, Los Angeles, and Seattle. And it's day two of the strike at seven Amazon warehouses from California to New York, where Fox Business Network's Madison Allworth reports.
There have been strikers, protesters out here 24/7 since yesterday morning. Their goal is to stay until Amazon meets their demands, which is for Amazon to sit down with their union, which is the Teamsters. Of course, so close to Christmas, the question is whether or not this is going to impact your deliveries getting to your house. Amazon has been firm that this will not have an impact on
That's Amazon also insisting that most of the striking workers are not employees, but third-party delivery drivers. America's listening to Fox News.
Go with your gut. Your dog's immune system is based in the gut. A diet lacking in nutrients can cause itching, scratching, and a weak immune system. However, there is a solution. D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E. DinoVite.
It took a grand total of 2 weeks. The dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Try DinoVite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with DinoVite.
Quiet down. Here she comes.
Shh. Surprise! Your accountant just emailed to say your quarterly taxes are way higher than you were expecting.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Also, your favorite employee is leaving. They're going to pursue their dream of being a veterinarian.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or cities.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Happy holidays from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The Yuma Police Department will be on the streets looking for impaired drivers this holiday season. There will be extra DUI patrols starting this weekend through New Year's Day. They're also keeping an eye out for illegal fireworks.
Our fireworks are only allowed during December 24th to January 3rd, and we can't have fireworks that go into the air.
If you do plan on drinking, also plan on having a designated driver or calling a taxi or ride-sharing service to take you home. Helping save lives while others enjoy the holidays, Onvita Health and its AeroCare staff are embracing the opportunity to serve during the holiday season. The hospital says it's important to be there for the community when they need it most.
We are here to help you guys out and to do everything we can to make your holiday as wonderful as possible.
The hospital and AeroCare team will remain fully staffed and open 24/7 throughout the holiday season. I'm Scott Gross.
Warmest day of the next 10 days at least will be today. Sunny and 80 on Friday, 48 overnight for tonight, sunny and 79 on Saturday, 47 Saturday night. Kick off Christmas week with sunshine and 78 on Sunday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark with you. Yeah, there's no Tom, Rush, and George. They're off out of town. So you've got me. I'm not really going to talk finance either. I mean, I could, but I don't think it'd be good. Just phone lines are open about anything. 928-344-5258. And I'm going to continue on with other issues, but the House is supposed to vote today again. It's planning another vote on a CR proposal. You know, and I don't. It says on another CR proposal, so not the 1,500 page one, I guess, that originally had a lot of pork and stuff in it, 90% garbage. That wasn't related to the spending, but they're trying to avert a partial government shutdown. I like this article says partial government shutdown, which is really what it is. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, Republican out of Florida, she said that, and she's outside Mike Johnson's office and said that we're very close to a deal, and suggests, you know, maybe by 10 o'clock this morning, which would have already is right now by 10 o'clock this morning. It's 8 o'clock here, so it'd be 10 o'clock right there. Maybe they'd vote on it even as early as now. She said, I do not believe the government's going to be shutting down. You guys will see some great stuff, very similar to President Trump's plan yesterday. Now, the plan she talks about is the one we talked about that failed. In fact, all the Arizona representatives voted against it. And it was suggested that it was because it eliminated the debt ceiling. She also added there will be no deals with the Democrats. No deals with the Democrats. Representative Dusty Johnson, a Republican out of South Dakota, told reporters he's not certain a vote will come as early as Friday morning. I don't have any reason to believe there'll be a vote at 10 o'clock. I know some people would like to get something not on the floor this morning. He doesn't think that's going to happen. Of course, Thursday night, the Trump suggestion, the one that was backed by Trump, failed. And anyway, after the 1,547-page bipartisan deal, the bipartisan deal was mostly done just with leadership, you know, like six guys or so, guys and gals, and getting together, and most of it was all done with just a closed door. Let's take a phone call. You're on the air.
Okay. I believe you just said, here I go again, fact-checking, correcting.
Okay.
That the reason Trump, one of the reasons Trump didn't like the bill was it eliminated the debt ceiling.
Well, I said that's why the Arizona delegation didn't like it.
Okay.
Because they voted against it. Oh, yeah. Trump wants it. Trump wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't like it because it left the debt ceiling. Spend it like a drunken sailor, I'm telling you.
Well, he doesn't want that limitation, and you might be right. I mean, time will tell. I think you're wrong, but time will tell. But I think he's serious about cutting spending.
And, okay, I will give you that he's serious about cutting government and scaling back big government.
Right.
And I guess it depends on tomato, tomato. What kind of spending are we talking about? No. If it's spending that benefits, you know, what he wants done, like buying now all new fence supplies and equipment and stuff that gotten wholesaled off, he's going to do what he's got to do, and if it costs money to do it, he'll be happy to spend money.
I think he'll spend money in the right areas. It's going to profit in the future, cut down, and I think there's ways to do that, and he's a business guy. What?
Yes, he is, and okay. That's one of the reasons I like him.
I mean, Elon Musk spends a ton of money, and he became the richest man in the world doing it because he spent on what made sense, and he spent on what people are benefiting from, and he cut costs by spending. Because
I have no problem with spending money. I spend a lot of my money.
Okay.
I don't like people's. Someone else spending my money.
Well, me either.
Have you ever heard that? Dan Bongino brings it up a lot. It's, I think it was Milton Friedman. There's like four different ways of spending money. You spending money on yourself. You spending money on someone else. Someone else spending money on you. Or someone else spending money on someone else.
Okay.
Government is the prime example of someone else spending money on someone else.
Well,
and when it's you spending money on yourself, guess what? You spend money on what
you want. But everybody agrees with that. I mean, everybody agrees that we can spend our money better than the government can spend it for us. There's no question.
And everybody, don't be so firm in everybody. There are people who don't agree with that.
Okay, everybody's sensible, realizes they can spend money better themselves.
There you go again, thinking logically again.
I am, and I'm sorry about that, kind of. But you're not going to get too much of an argument about that. But we all realize that government has a purpose, and it has to have some money. And to do it, to accomplish it. And I think most people agree to that. Now, where we disagree is how much the government should be doing and how much money they need to accomplish it. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about spending in general. We're talking about how much. And I think that Trump is our best bet now, and I think he's in the right mindset. He's getting the right people around him.
Absolutely. Trump was the best possible candidate we could have had. I don't think there's anyone else, including J.D. Vance, that we talked about earlier, that was right for the job that needs to be done right now. And thank goodness that he didn't win in 2020, because look at what he learned and look at what he's doing now.
I've heard that sentiment a lot. I agree with it. And I think that he's stronger, better educated, better ready, and the population is more behind him. Because we've suffered through 4 years of Biden's horrible government.
And I
think there's a lot to be said. I mean, nobody would wish that on us because we had to live through it. We had to live through this inflation.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's some pain and suffering that went along with it.
Yeah.
But thank goodness, again, I'm going to say we didn't end up with it.
Oh, Kamala?
Kamala.
Yeah, well, I couldn't take the laughter, but I don't think she's laughing.
Did you see how I curbed my statement about her?
Yeah, you kind of busy biting your tongue, which is nice.
You don't like what I call her. I don't blame you.
But all right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll listen off air. I'm driving.
All right, buddy. Be good. Bye-bye. Yeah, he's driving. Doing real work out there. I'm just sitting around talking. Phone lines are open, 928-344-5258. Hopefully we see another bill out there today that might be something more sensible, something more agreeable, that's simplified and not this 1,500-page nastiness. Now, last caller said that, he suspects that Trump's going to be a bigger spender than I think. Time will tell. I don't know. But I know he wants the debt ceiling not to be a tripping issue. I understand that. And I think maybe the Arizona delegation's right about not making him fight for it. Don't give it to him. And because, you learn not to trust everybody. That's fair. And I didn't hear back from Andy Biggs this morning. And I'm sure he's busy. He's probably got a lot of things to do other than text me back, but I'm sure he will at some point when he gets a breaking point at some point. But they're supposed to be voting on something today. I don't know. I read that someone thinks it's going to start at 10 o'clock, but don't know. See, Biden, okay, that was a stamina issue. I already covered that. Fannie Willis, let's cover that a little bit. Fannie Wilson, this is just, it's not even big news right now. It's not top news anyway, because we've got so much going on with the budgets and other things and calling Elon Musk president instead of working for Trump. And I think that's just to agitate Trump, which I have no indications that it has yet. But Fannie Willis was kicked out, off of the case with Donald Trump, which he should have been all along. But of course, we got a We got a judge over there that's trying to cause as much problem and trip Trump up as much as possible. And many scholars believe, and legal scholars, that with Fannie Willis kicked off, there's no other attorney that's going to pick it up. They think the case is a horrible case and won't pass scrutiny and probably will die now. The Greg Bluestein writes an article on it. He's an Atlanta Journal a constitutional reporter talking about the damage to Fannie Willis. She feels that, which, you know, she was just reelected just, you know, this last election cycle. But he's talking about her damage. And because of her disqualification now in this case with President-elect Donald Trump, she said her reputation is damaged, right? This was an unforced error, as we said early, and you know this was all her own doing, and now it unravels or might unravel one of the signature cases, not just of her career, but in Georgia. It leaves her damaged, and it will be interesting to see what case she tries to make when she's expected to appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court, because she's going to appeal the ruling. You know, the court did not toss out the indictment that Fannie Willis has out there, but declared that Willis and her team have no authority to proceed. You know, and Fannie Willis was, you know, having an affair with what Nathan Wade, you know, improperly. Nathan Wade was a special prosecutor that she hired, but, you know, boyfriend all at the same time. And the judge should have, and according to this author, the constitutional reporter, shouldn't have allowed the case to go any further, shouldn't have allowed them to go any further with it, both of them. But they didn't. They just said Wade couldn't go anymore, but they left Fannie Willis in there. Greg says that after careful considering the trial court's finding in its order, we conclude that it erred by disqualifying George Willis, in her office. The remedy crafted by the trial court to prevent an ongoing appearance is improprietary, did nothing to address the appearance of impropriety that existed at the time when District Attorney Fannie Willis was exercised her broad pretrial discretion about who to prosecute and what charges to bring. It is expected to be appealed to the Georgia Supreme Court, and Fannie Willis is. But what Greg's saying is that they should have eliminated Fannie Willis right then. She was the one, the decision maker. She was the one that decided to have an affair with George. And you know, George is the one that gets kicked. Or not George, Nathan Wade. And he's the one that got kicked and not allowed to go forward. Trump put something out right away. You know, he said the whole case has been a disgrace to justice, should not be allowed to go any further. All indications, and Catherine Christen, she's a former assistant Manhattan attorney, she says, she weighed in on it, and she says, usually appellate courts defer to the lower courts. The trial judge who fashioned a remedy, he said Nathan Wade, the man who was having an affair with, had to leave so the office could stay. And the court said, nope. The court said that Judge McAfee did not really appreciate that her decision-making wasn't just the indictment. It was who to charge, how to charge it. And at the time when he alleged romantic relationship was going on, and they said that also was one of the reasons why they think it's more than an appearance of impropriety. It's a conflict of interest, not just her. The entire office is disqualified. That's the way it should have been way back when. But for some reason, the Trump deranged syndrome lives on. They continued on and continue to cause the litigation or whatever, the trial. But I've been reading reports that they don't think anyone's going to pick this up. No lawyer's going to pick it up. No attorneys are going to pick it up. DA's going to pick it up. That it's going to die. But it was not dismissed as of this point. At this point, it's still active. And I can't even remember which one that one is. I don't remember, but it was a Georgia one. I'd have to look it up. But it looks like it's probably gone. One by one, these things have just continued to fall apart. All this lawfare, which was stretched just to fit Trump anyway, is just kind of going away. We'll be right back.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
AM 560 KBRU, Russ Clark back with you. Phone lines are open. 928-344-5258. Normally we have Money Talk on right now, but business, family, I don't know which, has taken the boys out of town, and they inform me they're not coming in. So if you have a money question, go ahead and call in, but I can't answer it. Phone lines are open other than that. 928-344-5258. Rand Paul's in the news. As always, I like Rand Paul. He's out, and he's a senator out of Kentucky. He's out there pushing the idea that possibly Elon Musk should be the Speaker of the House, which is really interesting. He wants Johnson. He would like to have Johnson replaced with Elon Musk. And really, really interesting. I mean, Elon Musk, he's involved in the DOGE right now, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency. And I think he said it was only going to be for 6 months, and that's it. You know, 6 months, he's got things to do. He's building rockets. He's building cars, building holes in the ground with the Boring Company, artificial intelligence. I mean, he's got a pretty full plate. I don't think he wants a full-time job as a Speaker of the House. I don't think so. But Paul went on X and said, the Speaker of the House need not be a member of Congress. Nothing would disrupt the swamp more than electing Elon Musk. Think about it. Nothing's impossible. Not to mention the joy at seeing the collective establishment, the Uniparty, lose their ever-loving minds. Which probably would be true, and he's right. The way the Constitution's written on the Speaker of the House, the elected Speaker of the House doesn't have to be a member of Congress. Well, it could be anybody. It could be Elon Musk. It's never happened in the history that someone was elected Speaker of the House other than a fellow congressman that's currently active. But he floated it out there. Because Musk is outspoken on the governmental waste. And yeah, would he be excellent at doing it? Yeah, he's excellent probably at everything right now. And he's a guy building rockets at less than 10% of what everyone else is building them. It's not that he's not making, you know, fantastic progress in buying things and putting things up in the air and putting things on the ground. He does it much cheaper. It makes him hugely profitable because people are buying his stuff, including government buying the rockets and private business. He puts up a lot of private business stuff, satellites. Let me take a phone call real quick. You're on the air.
Hi, Russ. This is Ruth. How are you doing this morning?
Well, good morning, Ruth. I'm doing really well.
Good. I just wanted to call and say thank you for coming, you and Helen, last night to the Tea Party potluck. We really had a good time, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Sheriff Wilmot for having his service at our Tea Party meeting. That was really special too last night.
Very biggest surprise. I think it was a surprise to Sheriff Wilmot. I think his wife set that thing up to get done
really?
Right then. I think so. And of course Wilmot was ecstatic to do it there with with the Tea Party and have the good judge there.
Yes, and it's glad. I'm just happy this morning, Russ, because Going forward, I want to do so much with the Tea Party and not only reach out to our candidates but our government officials. But we got to keep this going, Russ.
Right.
I mean, we just can't stop now.
You're exactly right. I'm excited about you taking reins. And I'd like to hear more from you. I know Gilbert calls me every day, but yeah, you're welcome to do that anytime to get that message out and what you're working on and all. But Ruth, I look forward to seeing what you get accomplished and working with you from the GOP side of things on getting it done, because you've been tremendous, and obviously that's why they selected you, in that, you know, all the work you've done on the ground, particularly in getting people to sign up to vote. You're relentless, so it's going to be fun to see what you're relentless at.
Russ, I have to say, I can't say I do it all myself. I have a lot of people who really want to volunteer and help me whenever I ask. They are there, and that helps too when you have people that want to follow you. They love the message that you're getting out there, and it's for a good cause.
Correct, and people like success. And when you're successful at what you're doing, and great success has been coming forward from all the organizations, it's so much more fun to get excited about it, to get out there and knock on a door to help people out, because you know it matters, and it's making a difference. It really does.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like this morning, you know, a lot of the Republican clubs really came together to get Yuma where we got to. I mean, Yuma got it right. Compared to some of the other counties in Arizona, Yuma got it right. And that's by us getting out there, getting the information out there, educating our people. And, you know, we did it, Russ.
Yep. And a lot of the others, you know, and particularly Maricopa and some of the others, the different clubs fight each other, you know, and are angry with each other and pointing fingers at each other. We didn't have a lot of that. I mean, humans are going to be humans, but we did not have any organization that was set on doing those kinds of nonsense. And that was a great deal. And a unified front like that made the impact that we had. And we had so many great people show up that did so many great things, and particularly Malba with Trump 47 and Turning Point and all those guys. They were new to the party.
She's a very hard worker. I love her to death. And you learn. We all learn from each other. And this is what we need to do to carry forward. All the clubs need to work together, because we have another election coming up shortly, and we need to get our conservative Republican candidate in there. We got to get Hobbs out of there.
Yeah. We're going to be working on it and working on it together. I'm looking forward to the next 2 years, and we got 2 years till the next election, and we probably won't have Turning Point. We probably won't have Trump 47, but we may have a lot of the people that were engaged in those activities if we can give them a real rational reason to pitch in and help out.
Yes, and I agree. But I just want to say Merry Christmas to your listeners. Happy New Year. The Colorado River Tea Party is going to keep going on. If they want to come and visit us, they're more than welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care, Ruth.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was Ruth, and she's now taking over the chairmanship of the Colorado River Tea Party. And she was hitting up a lot of the she was actually in charge of and hitting up getting the people to sign up to register to vote, and worked at a lot of the churches. So a lot of the churches and church services allowed her to be in the lobby or just outside or something, and very successful movement. And she was able to get that done. Now, they didn't have to sign up as a Republican by any mean, but they made it available, and the churches were very supportive of all that type movement, justifiably. I mean, getting their, you know, getting people engaged, get them involved, and nobody was telling them how to vote. We're just, you know, just pushing the opportunity to vote, the opportunity to get engaged and maybe know what some of the issues are so that they can make some informed decisions. Getting back to Musk being the Speaker of the House, which will never happen, but it's an interesting conversation. And other people jumped in on it, including Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise got in there and was confirmed that it that he very much GOP, so he was attacking Johnson handling of issues, which I don't know that he really believes that's a problem, but he's a supporter of it. Jimmy Williams, a political strategist, also commented. But let me take a phone call. You're on the air.
Hey, Russ. I was watching the news just now, and yeah. I guess we were told we have 2,000 troops in Syria.
We have 2,000 troops in Syria?
Yep.
And now
I guess our commander-in-chief didn't know that.
I don't doubt that he didn't know that. I don't doubt that he did, but okay. And I see where Pentagon put out the number of troops in Syria is much higher than previously reported. Wow.
Right.
But they're still not on the front lines, I don't think, are they?
It doesn't matter. They're in danger.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in a dangerous trouble.
Oh, they're in trouble. I mean, yeah, that's not a safe place to be, for sure.
No, for sure. You know, now we're finding out right before Christmas, we've got 2,000 troops there. How convenient. That guy, you know what? He can't go yet because Kamala Harris would be the president. We don't want that.
Right.
Count the days. But I've got to say it yesterday, but Trump is going to be he's in the White House already, even though he's not in the White House. He is leading the country right now.
Yes.
And I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
But that wacko still has, he can really screw us up right now. That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
Got 30 days.
A little over 30, I think, like 31, 32 days. Yeah, you're right on, because it's 20th of January that he'll be going in. So, yeah, like 31 days, I guess. It's way too long, but.
Yeah. So I ask your audience that's listening, all of y'all, to have some heavy-duty prayers for our troops in Syria.
Right.
I don't like that idea. Well, I'll get you to be fine.
All right, buddy. I appreciate the call. Your phone's not doing well. You're kind of breaking up, but I appreciate the call.
That's because we're traveling.
All right. Thank you. Bye. I didn't know that. And that was a report that just came out. I just grabbed it while he was on the phone. But Pentagon's been saying 900 troops all along have been in Syria. They've been saying that for several months. And then now they're saying there's 2,000 troops. And I wonder why all this stuff's changing now, you know, some of the truth's coming out. Is because it's Biden's last 30 days or he's not paying attention and now they can say what's true? Are they trying to clean things up before Trump gets into office? Is that the mission? Trying to get that out there so he doesn't have to discover it? I have no idea, but... kind of amazing, dangerous place to be. Hopefully they figure that one out. I don't know what 2,000 troops are doing there. I mean, is it an advisor to who? It'd be curious on who they're, what their military function is at this point, because you know they had rebels come in and push out the regime and. And I know Russia is quickly departing the scene also, but Bashar Assad is no longer there. They think he's supposed to be in Russia, by the way. Don't know. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. AM 560.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark with you. The phone lines are open, 928-344-5258. I know many of you have been to the store, grocery stores. Prices are high, you know, and they have been. They're up 20-30% since Biden's taken office. And some more than others. One of the ones that was really hit is eggs. Eggs have been up really high. And Michigan has a plan for it. They just passed a new law in Michigan that all eggs sold in Michigan now, starting before the new year, must come from cage-free birds. I don't know how that helps anything, but I guess they got PETA or some government regulation that's been pushing them, so they now made a new law. Now, it doesn't apply to any farmers that have less than 3,000 hens, egg-laying hens. But the Michigan lawmakers modified an Animal Industry Act of 2019, requiring shelled eggs from chickens, ducks, and other fowl sold in the state to be from cage-free housing systems, starting December 31st, 2024, unless you're a small business. The farm's affected law prohibits business owners from selling eggs from an egg-laying hen if care cannot be provided while standing within the hen's unstable floor space. Law also states that chickens are not to be confined or tethered in any way that prevents them from lying down, standing up, fully extending their limbs, or turning around freely. Most of the guidelines for cage-free eggs were established in the United Egg Producers 2017 rules, which set the standard for how much area must be provided in order for eggs to qualify as cage-free. Governor Gretchen Whitmer didn't respond about questions and all that kind of stuff. And prices are continuing to rise. I don't know how many of these egg producers don't use cage-free. I have no idea. But if you go to the stores, there's not that many brands of eggs that say cage-free on their containers, you know, that advertise it, and so obviously they're not all coming from cage-free. Eggs have been hit really because of the bird flu. And those infectious conditions are still continuing. It says wholesale prices of eggs jumped 55% in November. And, we're not seeing the whole raise at our end of it, but the eggs raised 55%. I guess that's just from losing the chickens, the from the bird flu, all the expense that's been involved. And when the bird flu, my understanding is, gets involved in one of these egg producers, they have to go in and just completely kill all the chickens. All of them got to go. I guess they don't want that to spread, so they have to get rid of all the chickens and start over. And start the business over. So these egg layers have been, people that sell eggs have been really hammered, the farms. And now Michigan's throwing this deal on them. They must be in cage-free, and go from there. Just so you know, there's still bureaucracies out there that have no sense. Let's talk about Macy for a little bit. Nancy Mace. She's getting a lot of news because of the possible shutdown. And, you know, we talked earlier, she sent out all those letters to ask that you don't do anything legislative-wise or any rule-wise that's going to affect Donald Trump. good luck with that. I mean, I think the Biden administration is going to be doing a lot of that. She says, as far as the shutdown, she's pro-shutdown. In fact, I saw her in an outfit, and I don't know if you remember the movie Kill Bill. It was a, you know, Japanese-type setting of movie with samurais, and the lead player in that movie had a yellow jumpsuit on and a samurai sword. So she's posing with a jumpsuit on with a yellow samurai sword, or a yellow suit with a samurai sword with Kill Bill on it, meaning the bill for the shutdown, kill it, or the bill that would stop the shutdown. She thinks it's not good. She says it's not the scary shutdown the lying media tells you it is. The president has the authority to prioritize spending. True. And in the past, the presidents have prioritized spending on things that would be noticed that would hurt us as much as they can. She says, statutorily, if the government shuts down Social Security, veterans benefits, Medicare, Medicaid still get paid. They're considered mandatory spending, not subject to appropriations. In the event of a shutdown, the Office of Management and Budget develops a contingency plan to decide what stays open and who has to report to work. I also have a bill called the Government Shutdown Prevention Act of 2023. It would appropriate funding for 90 days and 99%. Of what our current budget is, and then lower an additional 1% per day after 90 days passed. We would cut spending the easy way. My bill, or the slightly harder one, a partially government shutdown. Perhaps we should start with paying only those government employees who show up to work. I like the way she thinks. Might be a good proof point to determine what's essential and what's not. We got a lot of junk in the federal government. Shut it down. It had a lot of response, but as promised, here's our breakdown of the massive continuing resolution that funds censorship. This is from Nancy. Includes enormous subsidies for industries who don't need them. That includes a bunch of woke nonsense. See, I know how one lawmaker. How one lawmaker win this much, or how can one lawmaker win this much? How can one congresswoman continue to infuriate libs at such ease? How can one ex-Waffle House waitress continue to just press all the right buttons? Well, it's simple. Because she's one of the good guys. That's how she keeps winning. She fights for real women, fends off attackers with grace, and throws out outfits like this on an otherwise slow Wednesday night just to keep the lunatics on the left in check. Kill Bill. And of course, these are responses to what she's doing. She says, my God, what a pistol. What an absolute pistol. Just the best. The left is so cooked at this point. The Dems are done. Finished. Kaput. How in the hell can they hope to scam the American people when you have people like Elon Musk and Nancy Mace doing the Lord's work? They've gotten away with it for years, for decades, not anymore. And Trump won, and it opened the floodgates for sane folks to stop dropping the hammer on the wackos on the left. We're not turning a blind eye anymore. The American people have a voice, and now we have a face. Nancy Mace is hashtag for the people. You all thought it was Morgan and Morgan wrong. It's Nancy. Kill Bill. The left is done. Stick a fork in them. No more spending like a bunch of teenage girls with daddy's credit card. The adults are back in the room, and they're about to start smashing skulls and balancing checkbooks. Kill Bill. Go get them, Nancy. We'll be right back. AM 560.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
AM 560 KBLU, Russ Clark back with you. It's 8:46 on a Friday morning. Phone lines are open, 928-344-5258. The newspaper this morning, front page, Yuma celebrates outgoing council members Shoup and Shelton. And Mayor Nichols is handing Shelton a plaque, congratulations. And Star Trek theme. It's got, if you know Mike Shelton at all, he's a Star Trek fan. Live long and prosper, you know, and there's a, there's a hand motion to do that. You know, it's what the plaque's all about. He's got to live long and prosper. Good for him. And, of course, Emily Shoup. They spent many years. She got roses. I don't think Mike got roses. And a badge, which would probably mean more for her. That's good. For Emilia. So both of them are, they just didn't run again this time. You know, they'll, first of the year, we'll have new council people in their places. The U.S. Immigration Agency deports the highest numbers since 2004. And the article, and it's in the paper this morning, it says it aids more flights. And it says arrests at the border fall in November, down 80% from all-time high. Yeah, down from all-time high, which, by the way, was during the Biden administration. So they're gauging against that versus the all-time highs from Trump, of course. Now, as far as deportations, it's ICE mostly that does that. Which there's, I guess they're still active. They're still doing things, obviously. I didn't know how much ICE was doing. You didn't hear a lot about them. But U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported more than 270,000 people to 192 countries over the last 12 months. That's 270. We get more than 270 in a month. But, again, these are people that needed to be gone. But 200, well, it was actually 271,484. And that was ended the fiscal year on September 30th. And the same period a year early was 142,580, of course, also under Biden. And it was the highest deportation, which surprises me. And since 2014, when ICE removed 315,943. And that was, and Trump's high watermark was 267. He didn't even reach that. And it says increased deportation flights. Now, what, I don't know how much money all this costs federal government, but they're flying people to foreign countries, 192 of them. And deportation flights, and I don't think the foreign countries are paying, and I don't think the deportees are paying for it. I guess we are. But they're including on weekends and streamlined travel procedures for people going, why don't they just put them on a boat or something? It'd be cheaper. People sent to Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. And the agency had the first large flight to China in 6 years. Well, that's because the numbers of Chinese that have been coming into the country have been outrageous. In fact, scary high, make you wonder, you know, why they've been so high. See, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Protection said authorities made 46,612 arrests for crossing the border illegally from Mexico to November, down 18% from 56,000 a month earlier. Those are actually numbers way down from where they were. But planes are going to Angola, Egypt, Georgia, Ghana, India, Romania, Senegal, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. people would have a hard time pointing those out on the page. But ICE is still working, and I know as we're going forward that Texas has offered extra space to ICE to put detention areas, and I know the left has already spoke out against it because they don't want to, you know, they think it's cruel and inhumane to lock people up in concentration camps or something, however they're putting it and all that. Don't know. But we're going to see a lot about it. I mean, there's going to be people slamming it right away and all that. Biden-Harris administration, you know, has come out and pushed for, you know, writing off student loan handouts, which are actually loans, by the way. Well, the Supreme Court has blocked it many times, and they've said you can't do it, and they keep coming out with different ways trying to work around it and all that to give away this money. But now they're coming out with a new one. Because, and look, we have like 30 days left. And they just rolled out another $4.28 billion in student loan handouts. And hopefully it doesn't go through either. They say that the student loan program has been mismanaged for a long time. I believe it has. And I know that... And this talks in here how Trump is calling for the removal of the Department of Education. And I think that this student loan program needs to go back to where it was, I think, before. And I think it was Obama that decided to bring it in and make it a government thing. It was always a bank thing. It was backed by the U.S. government. It was guaranteed by the U.S. government. But banks actually were the ones that did the paperwork and did the financing part of it. And made it get out. I mean, I know the government backed it all, but since the government actually took it over, it's been a mess. It is just skyrocketed in the number of people got loans, and I don't think it's improved education at all. In fact, it's hurt more people than it's probably helped because it puts them so far into debt. Because they can borrow money not just for tuition and for books. I mean, they borrow money for living expenses, eating, parties, travel, you name it. They put it all on loan because you don't have to pay it for a while. I mean, that doesn't come up until after you graduate or drop out of school, whatever the case may be. And many have dropped out and had to pay these massive loans that they've racked up because they thought it was just free money. And when I get a job, I'll get rich and it won't be a problem. Well, it's not the right way to think about it. Let me see, just announced $428 billion student loan handouts. It will give 54,900 public workers loan forgiveness. So they're going after public workers. And they've been trying to do this. I think it's given away about $180 billion for 5 million borrowers already. Yeah, that's what it says, 180 already. And he's had it shot down a lot. I mean, there's like $1 trillion out there. But it's been shot down by the Supreme Court. You can't forgive this. This was a loan. It's taxpayer money. It says with the approval of another $4.28 billion in loan forgiveness, administration has secured nearly $180 billion in debt relief. Yeah, that the taxpayers have to pay for. Now, the Biden administration's talent program for creating incentives for public servants to pursue and remain in their careers for forgiving the remaining balance. Well, I don't know that we need that. I think we need a lot of public servants and some of these bureaucracies to be reduced. And maybe this is what it's all about, is trying to sign some contracts with them where they have to stay employed, knowing that Trump's going to come in and start thinning some of the herd. Look, when Musk took over Twitter, I think that he reduced it by 80% or something of people that he didn't need, and maybe this is an attempt to stop all that. But this incentive is to pursue and remain in their careers once they announce this. The relief announced today, and they just did it, includes both borrowers who have benefited from the administration's waiver already, a temporary opportunity that ended on October 22nd. That was temporary. Something about student loans. When you declare bankruptcy, you become insolvent, whatever. It doesn't wipe out your student loans. That's more forever money. You can't just get away from that. So you have to pay that off regardless. Okay, I'm going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU.
$25,000 per kid. Our child care costs are about $80,000 a year.
Wait, are they going to Harvard? We're going to take out student loans for the four-year-old.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 on 560 KBLU.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. An American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.
KBLU, Yuma.